chapter 1, and I think we've got one more week, Lord willing, in Ephesians chapter 1. And the encouraging thing is Ephesians is, Brother Brown, six chapters, amen. And so this will be our next week, Lord willing, will be our 22nd lesson. So 1 times 22, let's see, 2, 44, 66, 88, and I can't count that high, amen, 110, 100. So we'll be looking at about 135 lessons, Brother Horsch, in the book of Ephesians, amen. But it's good stuff, amen. It really is the Word of God, especially this particular book is so rich. Let's stand, and we'll read verses 19 through 21 of Ephesians chapter 1. And we're looking here at the second lesson on Paul's prayer for the saints of Ephesus. Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 19 through 21. And being that we're just reading those three verses, let's read them all in unison together, beginning in verse 19 of chapter 1. Ready? Let's begin. "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you've got a lesson there, and I hope you do, or if you got your Bible, just a review of last week's lesson. We looked at the first part of Paul's prayer for the saints, and we looked at how Paul wanted these saints to know more about God. Wanted them to know, not just know head knowledge, but he wanted them to know God more. And so we looked at two Roman numerals last week. He wanted them to know more of the perfection of God. The perfection of God. We looked there at verse number 17 of chapter 1, and we talked about that, how there it talks about the God of the Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, that he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. And we took some time and explained the Trinity, and I don't mean explain the Trinity. We read the verses, amen. The Trinity is unexplainable, isn't it, amen, when you think about it. But we talked about it in the perfection, and the perfection is this. Listen, God the Son is not less than God the Father. And God the Father is not less than God the Spirit, amen. These three are one, amen, according to 1 John 5:7. So we talked about that in the perfection of God. But then he wanted them to know more of the perception of God. If you look at verses 17 and 18, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And so we talked about three things under there. He wanted them to have the revelation of the knowledge of Him. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. If you are an authentic, born-again believer, if you say, what is that? That's somebody that's trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. Somebody that's been born again, blood-bought. At the time you got saved, you got somebody called the Holy Spirit that came inside to take up His permanent residence. And you know what part of His ministry is to the believers? He teaches us all things. He teaches us. And so He wanted them to know more of the knowledge of Him. How do you do that? By the way, can I just say this, sidebar, not in the notes? You're not going to know very much about God if you don't dive into His Word. Huh? And when you dive into His Word, the author of it, which is the Holy Spirit, teaches it to you. He teaches it to you. And so He wanted them to know more about the knowledge of Him. He wanted them to know more about the hope of His calling, it says there. It talks about there that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. And we talked about that verses 3 through 14. We don't have time to read all those. But then the last thing we looked at was not only want them to know more about the knowledge of Him and the hope of His calling, but the riches of the glory of His inheritance. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I got to thinking about that. We have There's a song my pastor and his brother sing. I have a home beyond the river. Huh? I have a mansion bright and fair. Amen. And we have an inheritance. And by the way, our inheritance is so much more than just heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that we have is wrapped up in Him. And so so we looked at that, the perfection, the perception, knowledge of Him, hope of His calling, riches of the glory of His heritage. And finally, blank line there, and finally, not only the perfection of God, not only the perception of God, but He wanted those people at Ephesus that He loved, that He labored with for 3 years, to know more about the power of God. The power of God. And it says it right there in the verses that we looked at. It said, it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of what? His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Amen. And so He wanted them to know. Paul prayed that they would know, and we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, and some points in between. Number one, the exceeding greatness of His power. He wanted them to know the exceeding greatness of His power. You know, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we read the Bible, and those of us that we've been a little seasoned in the Bible, that's a good thing, not a bad thing, amen. Brother Tim Horgan, God bless you, bro, amen. Before the service, we were just talking, and Brother Talbert was there joking around like he always is, amen. And we were all standing out there, and Brother Tim said, you know, being a new Christian isn't easy. He said, you know, there's some people I still want to pop. And I said, I've been a Christian for 20 years, and there's still some people I want to pop. And Brother Leonard came over and says, you ought to come to one of the deacons' meetings sometime, amen. I was thinking about that, amen. That's true, isn't it? Isn't it? You know, we still have flesh. But I want to tell you something. If we're not careful, we that have been saved a little bit, we can read about when Jesus raised the dead, Brother Tim, and say, you know, He doesn't do that anymore. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, He doesn't do that anymore. But He can.
Amen. He will.
But He can. That's right, brother. Brother Merrill said, and He will. Amen. Yeah. You know what Paul wanted them to know? The exceeding greatness of His power. Can I say we're like that too? We need to know the greatness of His power. I have on your lesson there, the God of the Bible, our God there is omnipotent. Is omnipotent. And that phrase is actually used there in Revelation 19. I memorized that passage for a speech class when I was in Bible college. Revelation 19, 20, and 21. And I'll tell anybody, if you're ever going to do any memory work, please don't pick that text because every verse starts with "and." And it's hard to get a groove. Amen. But I remember it says there, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Say, what does omnipotent mean? It simply means all powerful. Our God is all powerful. That verse in Job, you ought to look it up there in Job 42, 2, tremendous verse. He wanted them to know more about God's power. Blank line there. He created and upholds everything by the word of His power. That's our God. Amen? And that's what Paul wanted these Ephesian Christians that he had labored. Said, I want you to get to know more of the power of God. You know, so many times, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you this, I'm confessing my faults. So many times I know I serve God in the flesh and I just do things and don't have the power of God. And we can get so much more done when we have the power of God. I think about it literally. I remember this years ago, a preacher using the illustration of a vacuum cleaner. And he took a vacuum cleaner and he began to run it and he didn't have it plugged in. And he just walked around doing this and he's just going like this, just moving it and moving it and moving it. And he says, am I getting the job done? And somebody said, well, you're doing something, but you're not doing much. Sometimes that's the way we are, isn't it? Paul wanted them to be able to tap in to not just His power, Brother Brown, the exceeding greatness of His power. So he wanted them to know the exceeding greatness of his power. I like this. He wanted them to know the recipients of his power. The recipients of his power. Look there, what it says there in verse 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to who? To usward who believe. His power, blank line here, is toward us that believe. And under that, just have another blank line here. Faith is not nearly as important as the object of faith. Amen, Brother Tom? I see things on social media. People post prayer requests. I'll tell you what, anytime I post a prayer request, Brother Brown, you know this is true. I put this, dearly beloved of Loomis Park Baptist Church and praying friends. That's what I post. I want you to please pray about this. I see people post something that, and I'll see people say, sending positive thoughts. Pardon me, big deal. You know where a positive thought goes? Just out of your head. That's all it goes. Faith, he says here, he said, this power that God wants to give and that God wants to show and that God wants to manifest, he manifests it to us that believe. I'm glad last night. Listen, I was in a room of 450 people, the bulk of whom did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Brown, I was glad I believe. By the way, I don't think I'm any better than anybody else. But I know this. I believe on the Lord Jesus. If we believe that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If we believe that God hath raised him from the dead, he shall raise us also. Amen. Believe. Those of us that believe, we're the recipients of his power, or we should be. Or we should be. So, the exceeding greatness of his power, the recipients of his power, and then the manifestation of his power. I'm telling you, I just about came unglued when I got to reading this. It says there in verse 20, verse 19, according to the working of his mighty power, comma, which means a continuation of a thought, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Say, what's the manifestation of his power? It's seen in, number one, Christ's resurrection. Christ's resurrection. Hey, you remember that passage in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10? The Bible I normally use, which is it's becoming my devotional Bible. I don't have it with me tonight. I normally do my black Bible with all my notes in it and whatnot. That was given to me by a fellow named Charles Keene. Great pastor. He was a pastor in Milford, Ohio for 30 years. And now he's part of a First Word, getting the Bible out to all the people of the world. And Brother Keene put in it, he gave it to me for free. He gave me that wide margin Bible. I'll never forget that. I think of all the sermons I've preached out of it. I think of people who have been saved by it. And Brother Becker, Brother Keene has a part in every one of those. And it said, to Rich Savotsky from Charles Keene, I trust that Philippians 3:10 will become your goal. You know what Philippians 3:10 says? That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. And I was going to get to that, Brother Jeff, and the fellowship of his suffering. But you know what? You know what is the greatest manifestation of the power of God? You see, you may think, well, how about him speaking the world into existence? That's pretty awesome. Amen. The fact that he just took a bunch of dirt and made us. You know, the complexities of the brain. By the way, sidebar, it amazes me that someone could think, someone would laugh at you if they said a computer just evolved. This is the greatest computer of them all. This is the computer that designed all the rest of the computers. And God made it out of dirt. But I'd like to submit to you that the greatest manifestation of all is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 of Romans 1 says he's declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. So the manifestation of his power in Christ's resurrection. Can I give you another one? The manifestation of his power there in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Not only Christ's resurrection, but can I tell you this? The Christian's redemption is a manifestation of the power of God. Listen, you and I were headed for hell. Amen? Deservedly so. The Bible says later in Ephesians, without God and without hope. But what happened? Well, verse 7 of chapter 1 tells us, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I'm telling you what, the fact that you and I are going to heaven is a manifestation of God's power, that we're redeemed. Hey, think about your story. Think about how you came to know the Lord. Our testimony time in heaven is going to be long, but we won't have any time anyway. Amen. We'll have nothing but time. It's going to be long. And you know what? It all is going to be about God's glory and His power in our lives. And Paul wanted them to see not only the exceeding greatness of His power and the recipients of His power and the manifestation of His power. And then number 4 and lastly here in verse 20 and 21, it says there at the end of verse 20, it says, and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I want you to notice, fourthly, Paul wanted him to know the preeminence of His power. The preeminence. I love that word. It's used of Jesus Christ in Colossians that in all things He might have the preeminence, not the prominence. Hey, listen, Christian, God doesn't want to be just prominent in your life. He wants to be preeminent above all. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. The preeminence of His power. Notice verse 21, the seat of His power. Says He's seated, verse 20, set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power. That seat of His power is far above all principality, all power. But then, of course, the setting of His power. He's set there in heavenly places. He's set above the dominion, might and dominion. And I love this third one there, the supremacy of His power. It says there, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's our God, our wonderful, gracious, powerful God. Do me a favor. Hold your place there in Ephesians. Go over just a couple pages to Philippians. We read this on Sunday, but I'd like to read it again. Talking about the preeminence of His power, our God. Let this mind be in you, verse 5 of Philippians 2, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You say, Pastor, I don't see very much preeminence and power there. Hang on a second. Hey, you keep reading. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I tell you what, I wanted to quote that with everything in me last night. I don't have to quote it, Brother Leonard. they'll quote it one day.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not mad about that. I want folks to be saved. But one of the points in Sunday's message about when Christ returns is He's coming in flaming fire to execute vengeance upon them that believe not. You know how easy it is to believe? A child can do it.
Yes.
My children have come to me, "Daddy, I want to be saved." Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
It's easy. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, our God, the God that you and I serve, don't put Him in that genie bottle. Huh? He's powerful. He's powerful. And He wants to manifest that power in our lives. I'm told, and again, I know these stories as you read about them and things. I'm told that Charles Finney, who had some theology that wasn't right. You know anything about Finney? But Brother Brown, you know what he had? He had the power of God. In such a way, Mama Holy, that they said years ago that as Charles Finney would pass by, just like Peter's shadow, that people wanted to get under his shadow. That amazing things happened just because he was there. And I want to submit to you, it wasn't Charles Finney. It was the power of God that Charles Finney submitted himself to. I can tell you this, confessing our faults, many times, I don't have the power of God because I just don't want it bad enough. But it's not just for preachers.
That's right.
There are times when I know I have the power of God, and I know many of you have been beseeching it for me. He wanted him to know the exceeding greatness of his power. He wanted him to show the manifestation of his power. He showed the recipients of his power. And then here, lastly, the preeminence of his power. Paul's prayer for the saints of Ephesus was that they would know the perfection of God, they would know the perception of God, and that they would know the power of God. To God be the glory. Oh, we need His power. Amen. Father,